Hi there, my name is Mary Killalea. Welcome to the To Be Bolder podcast, providing career insights for the next generation of women in business and tech. To Be Bolder was created out of my love for technology and marketing, my desire to bring together like-minded women, and my hope to be a great role model and source of inspiration for my two girls and other young women like you, encouraging you guys to show up and to be bolder and to know that anything you guys dream of, it's totally possible. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation. Hi there. Thanks for tuning in. I am so excited today. Our guest on the show today is Dune Rosen. Dune is a very successful Australian entrepreneur and marketing expert. After having spent the last 10 years working in digital marketing and e-commerce, from running social media at Australia's largest and most successful online retailer called The Iconic, to working with huge global brands like Snapchat and IMG, she changed gears, pivoted, and started launching her own companies. She had a direct-to-consumer brand jewelry site, as well as a female startup club, and we might talk about her new project coming up. So super excited to have you on, Dune. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Mary. I'm really excited to be here.
Okay, and I have not traveled a lot. Actually, I haven't traveled very much at all, but I have been to London before.
Ah, well, London's a great city. You'll have to come back.
Yes, I will. Now I know someone. So this is exciting.
I can show you the ropes.
Okay, well, for our audience, can you take us back? You graduated from design college. Just at a high level or as much detail as you want to give us, kind of paint the picture of what you how you started and kind of where you came to be today.
Yes.
I know that's a lot.
It is a lot. I'm actually going to rewind slightly back further because it's a really big part of my story and I love to talk about it now. But I grew up with a single mom in the middle of nowhere. We were really poor, like didn't have a lot going on. And so my life back then as a child looks really, really different to my life now and what I'm doing now. And I love to mention it because my mom has played such a huge part of my life in shaping this like hustle gene that I think I have. And that comes from a place of not wanting the same life that she had at that time. And, you know, raising her only child in the middle of nowhere with like no electricity and no water from the town and an outhouse toilet and like all these kinds of things that are very unique. But in saying all of that, it was the most special, magical upbringing to be in the bush, very creative, lots of freedom, lots of independence. And it's something that for a long time in my life, I was a bit embarrassed about and I didn't share that because a lot of people, you know, had so much more than me and I was ashamed that we didn't have any money and that we didn't have nice things. But now I really see why that is such a blessing that I had that and why I am the way that I am. So I always love to start with that. But basically, fast forward to my senior years of school, my paternal grandparents decided to give me the opportunity to go away to boarding school. And so they sent me to this fancy all-girls private school, which was the first kind of turning point in my life where I went from not really having, I don't really remember if I had ambitions when I was growing up. I didn't see the world yet. I didn't know what was possible. And I certainly didn't know what an entrepreneur was. but I went from that to then seeing all these different people, you know, very successful. I was surrounded by all these interesting women. And I started dreaming about what my future would be and where I would want to work and what my career would be. And I was really excited at the time about working in a magazine. I wanted to work in fashion. I wanted to work for a glossy Harper's Bazaar or Vogue or something like that. But I didn't necessarily know what the pathway to that was. So when I finished school, I went to uni, dropped out, hated it. I think I lasted about a semester. And I kind of fell into this program doing visual communications and graphic design. So it was a bit of a mixed bag in terms of there was graphic design, but there was also photography, copywriting, HTML code, like these kinds of things. And it gave me this really broad kind of overview of visual communications. And I really liked it. I got a lot out of it. I didn't want to be a graphic designer, but I was able to see that that was a useful skill set for me to have. And so when I graduated, I kind of, my hustle kicked in, I guess you would say, and I started realizing all these things that I wanted. And so I thought to myself, hey, I need to get experience and I need to do whatever I can to get experience in different places so that I can then go and get a job in the fashion industry. So I did a few things and I love to tell these stories because they're pretty funny, but I wanted a job at a magazine. So I needed to get experience at a magazine and there wasn't a lot going on where this, I grew up in, well, at this time I was living in Brisbane, which is a small city in Australia, mm-hmm. in Queensland. And there was like a free glossy sort of magazine that went out with the newspaper that everyone kind of had. I think it might've even been a national newspaper. Anyway, a newspaper. And so I was like, well, I could get experience there, but there's no job opportunities and there's nothing on their website, but you know, maybe I could create something. So I went to my local nursery and I picked up a thyme plant, a thyme herb, and I potted it up in this really cute little pot plant. And I put my business card and I said, would you give me a moment of your time? And it had like my URL on it, my portfolio, that kind of thing. And I dressed up as a delivery driver. I don't know why I thought this was a good idea, but I was like, I also want to see what it looks like in there. Like, what does it look like in a glossy magazine place, you know, of business? So I dressed up, I put on this oversized fluoro high-vis like shirt, you know, whatever I thought that delivery people at the time wore, and marched into their office saying that I had a delivery for the director. And she wasn't actually there at the time. So I left it on her desk, had a bit of a snoop around and was like, cool, get a call the next day. Of course, they didn't have any internships, but she was like, you know, this is amazing. We'd love to have you in. And that essentially got me a 12-week internship learning about layout and design and how a magazine kind of operates. So I was really excited about that. And I carried on doing things like that just to get my way indoors and get experience, you know, here and there. Another example is there was a job offering or a, like an internship offering at this design agency. And they had this application online that said, you send your email like resume to yo, check this shit out at laundrycreative.com. And I was like, cool. What could I do to stand out from everyone else? And so I knew that their office was on a, it was like all glass and it was on this boardwalk looking over the river in Brisbane. And I would run past there every day. So I knew where their office was. And so I'd done the internship at the magazine and another magazine at that point. And I went home, I pulled apart the magazine and I stuck it up on my wall in this huge kind of like line by line. So it was like a big sign. And I painted, yo, check this shit out, www.duneroisin.com. And I painted it really fun. And it was a magazine that I'd done all the layout. So it was essentially a portfolio, put sequins on it. And I text my friend and I was like, hey, do you want to come and deface a building with me at 3 a.m?
Sure, sign me up.
And he was like, okay, that sounds kind of fun. Let's do that. Obviously don't recommend this. I'm not sure if this is allowed. And so at 3 a.m., we go down, we stick this up on the outside of their building so that when they come in the morning, they like see the sign and they're kind of like, oh, cool, let's go to, you know, let's go to her website and check her out. Left a little note for security being like, this is a job application, please don't take it down. So yeah, I kind of went through this phase of doing these kinds of things to get experience. And then this leads me to working in fashion and the next kind of like pivotal moment in my career. And this is basically, I'm again doing another internship. I did so many to get so much experience. At this one, I was like working for this board short company. And the guy told me that there was this company opening up in Sydney called The Iconic. And he's like, I don't know a lot about it, but it's a startup. And like, it's really, it looks really fun. It's funded. And all these words at this time, I don't know what any of this means. I'm just like, cool. Yeah. Fashion company. Like how glamorous. So I really wanted to work there, decided I really wanted to work there. And it was at a time when e-commerce was only just being introduced to the Australian market. So people weren't familiar with online shopping at this point. People kind of knew about it, but it like wasn't widespread and certainly like not a big deal. So anyway, I promptly packed my bags. I moved to Sydney I get an internship. I can't remember exactly what I did, but I did some fun thing, got an internship, just basically arrived and was like, I'm going to do everything I can to get a full-time job because this is where I want to work. And so I had like my part-time admin job that I'd transferred from Brisbane to Sydney. But before work, on my lunch breaks, after work, I was like always online, always trying to do anything that I could to be part of this company and just putting my hand up to be involved. And eventually the managing director came to me and he was like, listen, I will give you a full-time job if you be our social media person. I want you to like create our community. I want you to like own this. I want you to read everything there is to read on the internet about Facebook and Instagram. I think Instagram had just come out at this time. It was 2012 and Twitter, whatever. And I was like, oh my God, yes, this is me. 100% I'm joining. And so basically this experience kind of showed me what a startup is and what a funded startup is. And so for the first time in my life, I was working alongside all these really exciting people from Europe and from all over the world, really. And we were working together to build this thing. And it was super scrappy, even though it was like well-funded. We were like on picnic tables and we had little internet dongles, yet we were running an internet site. And we were building this thing that was new to Australia and we were innovating in e-commerce and tech. And it was just so thrilling to me. And it was such this dream experience where I was like, wow, maybe one day I want to do my own thing. Because when I looked around, there was a lot of dudes there, all guys running the show. The investors were also dudes. Like, I was like, I kind of want to be like those guys. Like, this is really interesting. I didn't want to be like my bosses. I wanted to be like at the top. And so this is where I started to really like get this feeling for like, maybe one day I want to do something, but I don't know what and like how that actually looks. But that's where the seed was planted. So that was kind of like the second pivotal part of my story. And then to fast forward, because I know it's a long story.
No, this is fabulous. I love this.
To fast forward, I decided, you know, I really wanted to move overseas. I definitely wanted to experience more of the world. So I ended up moving to London in 2015. And after a string of, you know, freelance work, contracting, doing a bit here and there, I ended up working for this company that was really old fashioned and really like corporate. Mm-hmm. And so it was a stark contrast to like working at somewhere like the Iconic where like everything goes and there was so much experience to be had to being like, oh my God, I'm sitting here and I'm not talking to anyone all day unless we're in a meeting. And it's like really awkward. And so I got introduced to this guy who now is my husband. And he at the time was like, why don't you quit your job and come and work with me? Because I'm building a tech platform. And I need someone to essentially set up a creative content agency so we can fund the build of the tech. And I was like, 100%, count me in. And that started kind of like this journey of us building businesses together over the last couple of years. And it has been quite the ride. I'll bring you up to where we are today, which is I started an e-commerce jewelry brand a few years ago. I was like, hey, I need to get back into e-commerce. I need to play to where my strengths are. Mm-hmm. And I want to do something with tangible products. I love things that are sparkly and that are fun. So I did that for a couple of years. And I realized that I really loved building the business and I loved the marketing side of things, but I didn't love the fact that I was like spending so much time creating the product and jewelry, as you know, typically jewelry requires so much newness, so much constant, like producing collections, all this kind of stuff. So even though it was an amazing experience and it took me all over the world to places like Indonesia and Thailand and Paris for Fashion Week and China, I thought to myself, I've chosen the wrong product. And at that time, I started talking to my girlfriends about how they were building their businesses, what they were doing, all that kind of thing. And that leads me to Female Startup Club and starting this kind of side project that eventually has become my full-time project.
I absolutely love that whole story. And I have like so many questions out of it. Wow. Thank
really,
you.
Really? I just talked your ear off.
So first and foremost, how do you go from your young childhood to dream so big, to have the boldness and to have the audacity to do some of the things that you did. What do you think? I know you said there was something about a hustle in you. Try to define that, because that to me is so unique. And I think it is something unique like that that drives people to be successful versus mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you have nothing and you kind of can see what that does to people and what your experiences are, it really forces you to be like, hey, I've got to work for this. Like, I've got to change my circumstances or else, you know, I'm going to be exactly the same. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And that's, you know, each to their own and all this kind of thing. But I really identified, and I don't know why I identified. Actually, maybe I do know why now that I'm thinking about it. I was still surrounded by other people who had a different life. So, you know, my aunties and uncles, they were business owners and they had like, you know, stuff going on. And I could see that there was a gap there. I could see that there was a difference in the way that we lived and the way that they lived. And then when it came to my paternal grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, they had a business and they were able to really provide for their family. And again, it was just like a really different way of living. And I really think that when you come from nothing and you can like see that you are the only one that can change your circumstances, that forces you to be like, you know, I can't like call my mom and be like, hey, I need some money this month. I can't pay my rent. It's like, if you can't pay your rent, then you get evicted because you don't have any backup. And like, I didn't have any savings. I was someone who had to figure things out myself. So I always worked from a young age. I always had a job. As soon as I could sell clothes on eBay, I was selling clothes on eBay. Like I was always kind of like figuring, I was pretty nifty. Yeah. And I definitely get that from my mom because my mom was really thrifty. She would like find really old pieces of furniture from like the dump and then like redo them and sell them, like fix them up, make them beautiful, make them cool, which now it's really trendy to do this kind of thing. But like 30 years ago, this is like her just getting by. And so, yeah, I think I had that kind of, I had different people and I was starting to, I always felt from a young age, I could really see that like our life was different. And I felt that, like I really felt it to my core. So I think it forces you when you don't have anything and you don't have anything to rely on to be like, well, I am the only person that can change this. This like it's, and you know, I was really lucky that I got to go to boarding school and that really did change my life. I'm so grateful for that. But yeah, I guess those things combined really shaped who I am now.
So what is it about being an entrepreneur that you love the most?
So many things, so many things. There's like the personal side and then there's like that outside side. So like on a personal level, I love my day to day. I really love the journey. It's like, I'm not only looking towards the goals that I have for myself, but I just love the way that my days are structured. Mm-hmm. I love that I have freedom. Even though I work a lot, I still have the freedom to do stuff. I travel a lot. My husband and I go to different countries, go to different places. So I love all of that kind of thing. But then on the outer side of that is like, it's so cool to impact other people's lives. And like Female Startup Club impacts thousands of women all the time, which I think is like this really cool thing that just brings me so much joy to my core, you know, like this feeling of like fulfillment and like you're doing something that when you look back in hindsight, you'll be really proud of. Or like if you die tomorrow, which sounds really morbid, but I always ask myself, or I always say to myself rather, if I die tomorrow, I actually feel really like happy with all the stuff that I've done, I've seen, I've like the people that I meet, the people that I impact. And yeah, I think like, that's just part of it. That's the good stuff. There's bad stuff too.
I think that's so fascinating. And I'm just sitting here again, thinking about what you said in your intro. And I think you said something that I thought was really smart because I'm older than you and it's taken me a long time to figure out what my strengths are and what I like and don't like about a job and being willing to just focus on what I'm good at and recognize and admit that other part's not really where I should be spending my time.
Totally.
So how did you get there so fast in recognizing your strengths? I mean, like walking away from your jewelry business and because that had to be a hard decision, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why this happened to me. I'm just trying to think now that you asked the question. I think it was like 2014, I did this self-development course called Landmark, and it really like opened my eyes again to framing things and making sure that you take action and pivoting and kind of just like seeing things a little bit differently, trying to understand the way that you are and all that kind of thing. And that was one of those times where I started being like, I am pretty good at taking action. Like I am, that is a strength of mine. And so I always have leaned into that. I'm so like, if I don't like doing something, I don't do it and I pivot. And I'm very much like, you know, a business isn't like who I am as a person. And so I don't feel connected to a business like in this way of like, this is my baby and this is like my everything. I don't actually have that. I feel very much like I just need to like love what I'm doing and enjoy it. And the good stuff outweighs the bad stuff to kind of stick with it. And I think like with the jewelry brand, I loved it. It was so much fun and cool, but I was also like, this isn't the thing for me right now. Like I need to like, again, stop that, pivot, take action towards the things that I do love doing. And I think that's what I'm just pretty good at, I guess, like taking those steps. And again, like at the moment, another good example is like, I'm really figuring out how I can delegate all the stuff that I don't like to other people so that I actually spend my day like totally doing what I'm good at, totally leaning into that side of the business, and everything else, figuring out another solution or not doing it. Just being like, either it's important and we need to get someone else to do it, or we just don't do it anymore and we don't care and just like stop.
That is so awesome. I mean, taking action is such a critical muscle to work when you're an entrepreneur. I mean, in any role, whether you're working corporate or not. I mean, I see people just frozen within inaction and they just turn. And so I love that about you. So let's talk about,
just to add to that.
Yeah.
One final thing. I also think there's strength in, it doesn't need to be overwhelming action, right? It doesn't need to be those huge pivots of like, oh, I'm going to shut down my business. Like that's a gradual decision that you get to. I'm a huge believer, and I practice this every single day, in the compound effect of just 1%. Just take that. If you're having a really crappy day, which everyone has crappy days, like just take, do one thing that sets you forward, like by one tiny step. And by doing that, like with Female Startup Club, for example, I just took those tiny little steps, and then 16 months, a year later or 18 months later, I was able to look back and be like, whoa, this is kind of cool. We've now built this really cool thing, but it took like such a long time to even get that foundation set up. But if you just take those tiny 1% actions, then you look back and it's all done.
So let's talk about Female Startup Club. You said you were kind of talking to your girlfriends and hearing their challenges. What were some of those challenges, and how did you, from a business perspective, say, I need to create a solution for that?
Yeah. So it started more from a place of, I was having these conversations with my girlfriends across a variety of industries. So like tech, for example, e-commerce, for example, drop shipping, for example, all these different places. And what I was finding is that my girlfriends were telling me like really cool stuff. So I was privy to these like conversations that were really like eye-opening about how they were building their businesses and like what was working, what wasn't working, what they hated, what they loved, all that kind of stuff. And around that same time, I was reading Tim Ferriss's book, Tools of Titans. And so you're nodding your head. You've either read it or heard of it. It's a great book.
Yes.
It's for anyone listening who hasn't read it, highly recommend. It's basically this huge book, and he interviews and profiles high performers like billionaires, athletes, entrepreneurs, that kind of thing. But what I found was when I was reading that book, I was so inspired by the way these guys talk. They're very direct. It's no bullshit. It is like, men just talk with such like conviction about what they're doing. But what I realized is that in the book, there's like no women. I think there's like less than 10%. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I'd love to hear this same like energy behind building a business, but from women, because that's my role model kind of thing. And that's who I need to blueprint from. Like, there's still a difference there. And so it just kind of evolved organically where I started asking my girlfriends if I could record our conversations. I was posting them on Instagram, but like watching a 20-minute Instagram video is like so not ideal. And someone, I think it might have been my husband, was like, oh, I think you should put it into a podcast. And I was like, not really sure about that, because it's funny that I say this, but one of my like massive fears was public speaking and like all of that. So I was kind of like comfortable in filming these really quick 10 or 20 minute videos, but the idea of starting a podcast was like really challenging. And so when I had that feeling of like, oh no, I shouldn't do a podcast, I was like, oh yeah, I should do a podcast because I can overcome this thing that I already have a problem with. So started the podcast. And that's really all it was in the beginning. Female Startup Club was just this place for me to have conversations. I didn't know anything about the podcasting industry. I didn't know anything about how podcasters usually work and why they're started. And so I kind of started the whole thing back to front. And as we started to grow and as we started to kind of like for it to evolve into what it is today, I started realizing like, oh, hey, this actually needs to like make money so I can keep doing it for like a full-time thing versus doing it as like this thing on the side. And so I was kind of taking it really relaxed, like easy breezy. And then the pandemic hit. And so I was like, oh wow, like I'm absolutely not going to do these conversations in like person anymore. I'm going to have to like figure this thing out. And then I just decided, I set myself a stupid goal. Like I'm going to do 100 episodes this year. And I think it was like April or something like that then. And then, yeah, I just totally leaned into it. I stopped the jewelry brand. I was like, I'm just going to not focus on the things that aren't giving me like the right energy. And I'm just going to lean into Female Startup Club. And yeah, it basically all started from there.
That's fantastic. So your ideal, talk about your ideal audience and what kind of things that if they tune in, are they going to be hearing?
Yeah. So our ideal audience and who kind of listens to the show is early stage entrepreneurs right through to seasoned entrepreneurs, primarily who are in the e-commerce and CPG space. So women who are building brands and want to learn from other women who are building the brands that they know and love. So people in the beauty industry or people in food and bev or people inventing new things that have never existed before. And they come to the show and they're able to get that inspiration piece, the storytelling piece, but they're also able to come away with tactical insights and tactical learnings that they can implement into their own business. Now, there's also a lot of women who aren't entrepreneurs, but they're just interested in entrepreneurship. And one of the best compliments I ever received, which kind of sums up like Female Startup Club, is like, it's kind of like how I built this in terms of that storytelling, mm-hmm. but there's like actual tactical tips that you could take away and put into your business. And I love that because I was like, when you hear how I built this, you know, it's so great. I love the storytelling through that podcast. So to be likened to that, it was so exciting.
Can you talk about your next project?
So Female Startup Club, we're like a year and a half in, but all through last year, I was still thinking like, hey, what's my e-commerce play going to be? Like, what do I actually want to do in the e-commerce space? Because I really want to come back to that. And I want to get Female Startup Club to a point where, you know, Female Startup Club now is like an agency on the back end. My husband's a performance marketer. We have all these exciting things happening, a book coming out, lots of fun stuff, a private network for women, all that kind of thing. But I really wanted to get to a point where, again, like I delegate myself out of that business and I work full-time building an e-commerce D2C brand. And so in January of this year, my husband and I were doing Dry Jan and we were in lockdown in the middle of winter in London. It's boring. We were like, oh God, like this is like very dull. And we love to drink wine. We're definitely wine drinkers. He's from Switzerland, so he's grown up around it. He's always wanted to do something in wine, but never saw a gap and never saw something that made sense outside of just kind of being a bit of a hobbyist. And so over the year, we'd been like looking for what we were going to do. We were kind of looking for things that got us excited. And it was kind of one of those literal aha moments where we were like, oh, we should, I think the conversation went along the lines of we should go and buy some of those like non-alcoholic cocktail mixes or like cocktail spirits. So like Seed Lips is gin and, you know, there's a whole other range of products out there now. And I was like, well, we don't really drink cocktails at home. Like, I don't want a non-alcoholic cocktail. Like, all I would want is a non-alcoholic wine. And he was like, that's interesting. And then it kind of spiraled from there. We went to the store, we bought like everything that we could, and everything was terrible. It just got tipped down the sink.
Yeah.
And so basically that kind of started our journey in developing this non-alc wine company. We got connected to a French master sommelier, which is someone who is at their absolute top of their field in wine as an expert. And he got really passionate about what we were doing too, and decided that he should join us as a business partner. And we've been developing that since, I think we started probably in March, and yeah, it's coming along quite nicely.
Oh, I'm so excited to see how this evolves, because I think there's a huge market need for this.
I mean, 100%.
100%. And there's so many great marketing ways you can do it, from females to, I mean, on and on and on. So I can't wait to see this unfold and see how you take it to life.
Thank you. Thank you. We're super, super excited about it. And, you know, obviously we've learned a lot from the show, and I've been able to build, you know, quite a network of founders and brands who align perfectly with what we're doing and have crossover in audience. But I think, you know, the sober curious crowd is absolutely on the up. People yes. are drinking less. People care about their mental health. And, you know, then there's, of course, people who can't drink for whatever reason, pregnancy, religion, you know, because they're on medication, recovering alcoholics. Like there's so many niches of people who need products in this space. I was thinking more for myself around like, what am I going to do when I'm pregnant? And like, I want to be at a restaurant and I want to have a grown-up drink, and I don't want to drink like, you know, a Coca-Cola with a little straw.
Right.
But yeah, it's really, really exciting. And I think we have a lot to do still to bring it to life, but one step at a time.
When you reflect back on your career this up to now, what are you most proud of?
I'm really proud that I get to impact women in a positive way and do something that I love. Something that we'd been looking to start and we just kicked it off this month is we're giving away $1,000 small business grants once a month to small business owners. And like those tiny little initiatives that like we have the power to create can so positively impact someone who needs it in that moment. And I think those kind of things, I just think, I'm like, wow, like imagine if someone gave you $1,000, that's so cool. No strings attached. And so being able to like be in a position where you can give that to someone else. And it's not just that, obviously, like through the podcast, we give a lot of learnings, we have resources, we help women with their businesses. But I think overall, like Female Startup Club is just, it fills my cup.
That's so awesome, because that's what 2B Boulder does for me. I love it. And that's why I love having you on as a guest to expose you to more women. So if you could tell your younger self something, what would it be?
If I could tell myself, my younger self something, it would be probably to start sooner, like take risks earlier, start businesses, like even if it's like a small side hustle, like just kind of get cracking sooner. I think I only took entrepreneurship sort of seriously towards the end of my 20s. And now kind of, I guess, you know, 32, so around that 30 mark, but I wish I'd done it 10 years earlier, because, you know, of course you look back and be like, wow, imagine where I could have been. So I think that would be my advice to my younger self.
Awesome. Okay. So I ask everyone this, what does 2B Boulder mean to you?
2B Boulder. I think it's about like identifying the things in your life that are your like real goals and just actually taking action straight away and just getting out there and making sure you're going to do the things that you want to do in your life.
Awesome. So where can people get in touch with you, learn more about you, learn more about your business, Female Startup Club?
Yes, you can reach me on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter at Dune Roisin, which is DONEROISIN. Or you can come to Female Startup Club. We have a weekly newsletter. You can go to femalestartupclub.com, pop your email in, and we will be with you once a week. Or of course, tune into the podcast, which we publish 3 times a week.
Holy cow.
Yes. It's a lot. It's a lot of content.
I'm working towards that. All right.
You'll get there.
Thank you. Gosh, it's been such a great time talking to you. I appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you so much, Mary. It was so nice to meet you.
Thanks for listening to the episode today. It was really fun chatting with my guest. If you liked our show, please like it and share it with your friends. If you want to learn what we're up to, please go check out our website at 2bboulder.com. That's the number 2, little b, boulder.com.